Hey, True North, it's Greg. So excited to be here with you guys today. Man, I hope that all of you guys are staying safe, you're staying healthy. This quarantine life needs to be over, right? Can I get an amen? I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. And like Justin said, we're really excited about when that's going to happen. And so just hold on. The day will come and we'll be back together again, and I can't wait for that. But I tell you what, it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys this morning and to be sharing God's word with you. This series is powerful, right? The struggle is real. I love that. And these last 2 weeks, Justin's really been bringing some amazing truth from the book of James. And you know, a plug for the book of James. I mean, it's such a great book to read. A lot of great instruction in there. It's an easy read, as book readers will say, because it's short. But it's just packed with great information. And I'm excited that this series is resting in there. And so this week, we're going to be talking about obedience. The struggle is real, and obedience and obeying God's word and what that looks like. But before we get into it, I wanted to share kind of a bit of a secret that I have, what I think is a pretty amazing talent. And that is, you put a text in front of me, a book, I can read that text, and while I'm reading it, word for word, my mind is 100% somewhere else. I mean, I could be watching TV, reading something else, thinking about something entirely different. You know, I can multitask like crazy when it comes to reading. And that is a huge struggle, by the way, when it comes to reading the Word, right? Because I don't know about you. I'm sure there's others out there that have done this maybe. But I can be reading through like a devotional and my mind be somewhere else. In fact, true story, that happened to me earlier this morning. You know, I'm reading through 2 Chronicles, right? And my mind drifted off to the message notes. You know, I'm going through that because I like to go over it a lot in my head. And, you know, when I realize that happens, I have to stop, rewind, you know, and focus on what's in front of me. You know, but that forgetting part of it is another layer of complexity when it comes to reading God's word. You know, when I think of how easily it is for me to forget something, it's around names. I don't know if it's me or if you guys can relate, but I will meet some folks, probably some of you, for the first time, and we'll exchange names, introduce each other, and then minutes later, I just forget it. I just forget it. And the same thing, like with hearing a message. A lot of times, you know, minutes later, you know, like on the drive back from church, we would be talking about it. And you know, I'll grill my kids like, so what was your big takeaway? What did you think about the message? What was the big thing? And sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's silence, you know. And it's just so easy for us to forget. And I work in the learning and development industry, and there's this study that has been around for a while called the forgetting curve, and basically, what it is somewhere around the 3-day mark, we lose 80% or close to 80% of what we read or see or interact with, you know, and so that's a huge challenge, right? And in a learning and development world, there's a lot of effort that goes into battling that. And what's interesting with our message today is James calls this out, you know, and so we're going to jump into God's word here. We're still in James chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up here in verse 22, if you want to follow along. So it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." You know, and I will stop there. I love the kind of the ridiculousness tone of that, right? You know, almost like you can just hear him saying, like, how ridiculous is it if you're going to listen to the word or read the word and not obey it? It's like looking in a mirror and then forgetting who you are, you know? And I'm sure that you know, as parents or even children of parents, we can all agree that, you know, disobedience to instruction, you know, or disobedience to, and in this case, in God's word, causes struggle as well, right? And so You know, why is that? And that's the first question I wanted to talk about today and just kind of look at God's word together is why is it that we struggle with obeying God's word? You know, it's not enough just to read it. And that's a good thing to champion all the time in the church, right? And I do it all the time, you know, to my friends and family and my men's group. You know, like, we need to read the word. We need to read the word. Yes, yes. But we also need to obey it. I mean, how many times have we done that, right? We'll read the word. We'll check the box. We'll go through that devotional. And then that's it. It's out of our mind. And so my hope, guys, is that we can look at God's word. We can spend some time not only in this passage but a few others and kind of center up to what the word of God says around obeying the word and not just hearing it, not just listening to it. And so let's first talk about that, answering that question of why. Why don't we obey? And I think it comes down to really three things. And first of all, I think one of the reasons why we struggle with obeying God's word is we need to love God more. You know, think about the relationship of a parent to a child, right? As a parent, do you feel all warm and fuzzy and loved when your child is disobeying you? No, right? You know, and when we were children, to our parents, you know, it's the same difference. You know, and so I love how, you know, Jesus reminded his disciples, you know, of this on the night before he was crucified. He said over in John 14:15, simply, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. It's connected. It's one and the other, right? They're partnered together, love and obedience. And well, one thing that I kind of challenge myself with when going through this is, I'll do the same thing with you. Think about somebody that you love very much. The first person that comes to mind right now and why you love them. You know, maybe it's what they have said or what they have done, how they've helped you, their embrace, their investment in you. You know, and so maybe it's a spouse or your children, your parents or a friend. I can't imagine it being a pet like a cat, maybe a dog. But, you know, think about why you love them, and that list, that mental list, just starts to build. And by comparison now, try to do that same exercise with why you love Jesus. You know, does that list start to form the same way and pretty easily, right? You know, is it easy for us to say, I have an unconditional love for the Lord, and here's all the reasons why, right? Thinking back to how he's provided for you, how he's protected you, how he's comforted you. And the list just goes on and on, right? And so, you know, it goes hand in hand. I love what it says here in 1 John 5:3. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So love and obedience definitely go hand in hand. And I think that's one of the reasons why we struggle with obeying God's word is we need to love him more. We need to really focus on how do I love God and why do I love him and what is love for him. And it's obeying his commands straight from the mouth of Jesus himself. So number two, I think another reason why we struggle with obeying God's word is we need to fear him more. And what's interesting with this word fear, as it relates to the fear of God, is it comes up in the Word of God over 300 times. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for fear here is yira, which means respect and reverence for him. Not like a scared or trembling, but it's a reverence and a respect. And I tell you what, every single time this topic comes up, my mind goes back to many years ago when I worked in retail. It was a two-floor building, and there was a big open space, and so kind of like the second floor overlooked the first floor. So it's a big open area, is my point. And I was working one day, and I could hear in a distance a child losing their mind, just a tantrum, going crazy. And I could hear it getting closer and closer and closer. And it was unrelenting. I mean, it was loud and total meltdown. And, you know, when it got really close, I had to look. Like, what is happening here? This kid is throwing a crazy fit. And here, I found out later, it's this child with their grandfather. And the, you know, the child didn't want to go into the store. He wanted to go somewhere else in the mall, probably, and was just falling to pieces. And was hitting his grandfather, and it was just sad to see. And I remember that feeling, being sad, like, wow, that child has no respect for their elder, for their grandfather. And I really just felt sad for the grandpa. And I my mind goes back to that whenever I think of that respect and that reverence for the Lord. And Proverbs 1:7 again, quite simply says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." I love the phrasing of that. It's the start to it, right? You want to start to know God and start building your relationship with Him. You want to begin in that. It all starts with obedience and that fear of the Lord. I did some research, and I love how activechristianity.org puts this, and we'll put it up on the screen here, and how they defined the fear of the Lord. I love this. It says, "The fear of the Lord causes us to fear to sin against Him, because we want nothing else in this world than to be pleasing to Him and to bring honor to His name. We fear to cause Him sorrow or grief, knowing how incredibly wretched our sin is, how much God hates it, and how much it hurts Him when we sin." You know, and I think of that from time to time. You know, when I mess up, and that often gets into my prayer, like, "God, I'm sorry for disappointing You. I'm sorry for letting You down. You know, I'm sorry for, you know, bringing that darkness into, and trying to bring darkness into light. That's not where I should be." You know, and so, you know, again, it's a journey, right? But fearing the Lord, respecting and revering who He is as we are in His Word and learn more about His character and who He is and everything He's done for us, and how the story of Jesus is written from Genesis all the way through to Revelation in such a powerful way, and the character and the personality of God being revealed to us all through that is such a beautiful thing, and we will build on that. But, you know, I think that contributes to why we struggle with obeying God's word, is we don't fear Him enough. And the third reason, and this really ties closely to it, you know, if we fear something, we trust in the power that it has, and we submit to it. And so trust, I think, is that third reason that we maybe don't trust the Lord enough, and that's why we struggle to obey Him. And I'll put the crosshairs straight on me. You know, for most of my Christian walk to this day, for a good majority of it, I struggled with trusting the Lord when it came to tithing, when it came to finances, to giving. You know, I could say I trusted in the Lord. I would answer the question, "Of course I do," in all areas or many other areas of my life. But when it came down to that very tangible trusting the Lord with money, it was hard for me. You know, because it's easy for me to be motivated by fear, and getting over that hump was really, really hard for me. But, you know, I did my best to obey the Lord. He would put it on my heart. He would convict me through a message here or there, or just what I feel like Him putting it on my heart. And I would obey Him, but it took me a while. I did it in pieces and parts, and God continued to be faithful, and because of that, it built up trust in me. But then the test came. You know, as many of you know, and I've shared it before, you know, last year I lost my job, and would you believe it? While I was still unemployed, I felt like God was tugging at me to give more. And I'll be honest with you, my first knee-jerk reaction was, "Are you kidding? I don't have a job." But I barely got that out of my mental mouth, and I kind of snapped out of it. I said, "Well, of course I need to obey God. It's inconceivable for me not to. I must." And I did it right then and there. I had to, and it felt great. Not that it wasn't scary. I didn't know what was going to happen with how long it would take for me to get a job. But I'd seen enough, and God was patient and merciful enough to me to be faithful as I was growing in trust in this way, and it became a lot easier in that trial. And I mean, to this day, God continues to prove himself faithful in ways that I never dreamt. And God is good. And so we need to trust him more. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me." You know, this good shepherd's voice in Psalm 23, which gets, you know, quoted so much, is such a powerful story. And we need to follow that good shepherd's voice, his leading, right? We need to trust him. I love think about the visual of that. A shepherd and the sheep, right? The shepherd knows he's got his rod for correction. He's got his staff, right? He's steering them. He's got the responsibility and the knowledge to take his sheep where they need to be and to protect them. And submitting to him means not following our own compulsions, but following the voice of the good shepherd. And so I think those are three reasons why we struggle with obeying God's word. And, you know, again, looking to that disobedience, if we're struggling, if we're feeling distance with the Lord, train yourself, if you don't already, to think about, are there ways that I'm not obeying God's word? Are there things that I'm not submitting to him? Are there commands that I'm just ignoring because I'm scared, like my story? And oftentimes you'll realize that that disobedience is why there's that struggle. So, you know, and a second question I was asking myself as I was going through this is, you know, why don't we even want to read the word at all to begin with? And what's really neat is as we continue here in James, he speaks to that. So let's continue here in James 1, now at verse 25 is where we left off. He says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And I love this one little verse is packed with three pieces of instruction and a promise. It's so great. So let's practice what I'm preaching, and let's look at this really closely and try to apply it to our lives, right? So first of all, he says to look intently. And what came to mind is, have any of you been to an escape room? I'm sure many of you have. I hadn't been to one until I think it was a couple years ago on Mother's Day. Carrie wanted to go, and so we all went to, I think it's called Breakout Games on McKnight Road there. I'd never been to one. I knew what they were about, but I was excited to check it out. And it was crazy. If you haven't been to one of those, I mean, they lock you in a room, and it's got a theme, and there's clues hidden everywhere, and just enough information, and all of it's kind of connected, and you've got to work together to figure it out, to get yourself out of the room. That's the whole thing, to escape out of the room. And you know, my mind goes to that when thinking about this looking intently thing. Just like we had to look really intently at the little bit of information that we had and talking through these things together, studying it together, rereading the little bit of the clues that we had and following that. And also, by the way, I don't know if all escape rooms do this, but at this one, there was a voice that would come over the speaker every once in a while, like, "Have you thought about looking over there?" I remember thinking right away, that's just like that voice of God, isn't it? You know, so that'll preach. And here we are, you know, but, you know, so listening to that as well and in kind of piecing it all together, and it worked out. We got out just under the hour. So not a stellar time, but at least we got out. But, you know, in the same way, I share that with you because that's what this is talking about. We need to look intently at the Word of God. You know, what if we would do that? What if we would carefully analyze Scripture in that way? Read through it really slowly. Focus on word after word. Think about who the original audience was, who the speaker is, what the situation is, right? Maybe even looking at what some of the words mean. You know, like I shared with you, the word fear, yura, you know, and so gaining understanding and really just kind of letting it soak in, right? And so looking intently is the first piece of instruction that he gives there. And so, you know, my big encouragement on that piece of it is read the word to understand, not to just complete. And again, I'll confess to you, it's easy to just want to kind of look at reading the word as a daily assignment. I will confess that There have been times every once in a while that I will be reading through my daily devotional and the TV is on. And then I'll think to myself, this is ridiculous. It's too much distraction. I shouldn't be doing it. So let's go back to that verse. And it says, continuing in it, not forgetting what you have heard. So continuing is the other instruction that we're getting here. Continuing in the word. And what jumps to mind there is basically studying for an exam. So we've all done that, right? For some of us, maybe it's been a while, but any kind of training or certification, final exams, your master's degree, all that kind of stuff, studying means that you're reading through it multiple times, right? You're writing your notes, you're rewriting your notes, you're studying, you're just playing it over many, many times. Imagine if we as Christians, our goal after being saved was to read through the Word, Genesis to Revelation, finish it, and say, hey, I did it. I read the Word of God. I'm done. I'm going to go live the rest of my life now. Talk to you later. That's ridiculous, right? Because we know that continuing in the Word of God is extremely powerful. It's living and breathing, and God speaks to us through His Word. And so we need to continue in His Word. And so, like I was talking about removing distractions, when you read the Word, get those distractions out of the way. Make sure that you're reading to understand. Focus, on what you have in front of you. Take notes the same way that you would for a test. Journal, if that's your thing. Whatever you can do to help you retain more and continue in the Word. Putting up scriptures on little cards, put them on your mirror and key places in your house. Those are things that we can keep that top of mind awareness and keep the Word of God in front of us. So continuing in it is the second part. And third, he says, do it. Do it. Continuing in his Word and then do it. Just do it. And I think of, this is a great example. And again, I feel like I'm confessing a lot, but I have gotten a speeding ticket in my life. And thankfully, it's been a long time. I'm struggling to remember when was the last time I got one. But anyways, if any of you have gotten a speeding ticket, here's my question. After the officer gave you a warning or the ticket, and he's still sitting behind you, but you can go, how did you drive away? Did you put pedal to metal and just fly out of there? No. You put your blinker on, you looked back, you're really careful, you slowly got out, right? And you obeyed the speed limit. You probably were under the speed limit for a while because you were doing it, right? You just got the correction. You just got some instruction that was very practical to you, and now you're doing it. How ridiculous would it be for you of just to tear out of there and just go speeding again right after getting the ticket? That would be ridiculous. That would be as ridiculous as looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like, right? So three big pieces of instruction here. Look intently, continue in it, and do it. And then he says, if you'll do these things, you will be blessed. Quite simple, right? Luke 11:28 kind of says the same thing, but this is, again, Jesus speaking, and he says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And I'm sure that all of you could think of stories and examples of, I obeyed God's word and he came through. I trusted in the Lord and he did what he said he would do. I submitted my fears to him and he took care of them. He blessed me with peace. The list goes on and on, right? And so we will be blessed if we'll obey his word. And so think about that as you walk away. My challenge for you is that when you go to read the word of God, and I do this for myself, it's easy to lose perspective. When you pick up that word of God, that you realize that this is the spoken word of God, right? This is his instruction. This is how God speaks to me. And so before reading the word, it's really important to pray before you read. Ask God that he'll speak to you. Ask him, just to help you clear your mind and to be ready to listen. And that's my second point. Be ready to listen. Set aside those distractions like we talked about. I think of if Jesus was in front of me, if he came over to my house and he's speaking and teaching, what a powerful experience that would be. Would I multitask? Would I be on my phone looking up things? No. No way. No. And so remove the distractions. pray before you read. And like I'd mentioned, when you read, read slowly. Don't try to just fly through it. And if you do find yourself drifting off and your mind is somewhere else, I know it may be tough, but stop and go back. Go back to where you were and start over again so you don't miss anything. And so, and then lastly, a challenge that I have for you is, you know, again, looking at your situation right now and your life right now, would you say, you know, I feel like there's some distance. I feel like I'm lacking in my relationship with the Lord. You know, oftentimes, guys, it's because we're not being obedient to His word in some way. And again, pointing back to my what I shared with you with tithing, there was a lot of times where just going through life in other situations, I would feel distanced, and my mind always went to that. I felt like that's the one thing that I really need to let go of. And it took time, like I shared. So think about that. Be honest with yourself and think about, am I really obeying all of God's word, all of it? And so, guys, I hope this was encouraging to you. I know going through this myself, it was challenging to hear. You know, just like these last 2 weeks that Justin's been speaking, they're tough messages, right? But again, the book of James is so powerful and so packed full of some great information. And we're about to go into a time of worship right now. But before we do, can I just pray for all of us, you know, as we think about His word and before we enter into worship? Join me in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You that it's living and breathing. I thank You for the promises that You've given us. I thank You, Lord, for revealing Your will throughout Your word. God, I ask that You would give us the strength to trust You, the strength to follow Your lead, God, like the good shepherd and the sheep that will follow Your lead. God, I ask that You would be merciful and patient with us, and that we would learn how to fear You more and to listen to Your voice and to trust You and to realize that all of that comes to obeying Your commands and obeying Your word. Thank You again so much, Father, for Your word. Thank You for loving us. Thank You so much, Father. In Your name, amen.